Lane Transit District Board Human Resources Committee meeting to order. Roll call, and April Wick.
Present.
Gary Wildish.
Present.
And I am here as well. Have people had a chance to look over the minutes?
Yeah.
Great. If after review, it looks all in order, I'll entertain a motion.
I motion to approve the minutes of May 8th, 2018 of the Board Human Relations Committee.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And all those opposed? Oh, no one opposed, so there you go.
Yep.
Unanimous. Why did I do that? Okay, so let's go straight into discussion. I feel, Dwight, thank you very much for this memo. I've reviewed it, and I feel like it paints a fairly clear path.
Yeah.
Where to go. Does anyone want to get it started about as to what they took out of the memo, or even separate from the memo, what you would like to propose? If anything.
Well, I wanted to give Gary wasn't at the last meeting, and I kind of wanted to get his thoughts, because we had a pretty rich discussion, but we didn't want to make any movements without your humble.
Yeah, I think on the number one item, talking about the organization, and you know, and that's the, was it ABBG?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My whole goal is to work with the general manager in a way that can allow us and the community to recognize that we are looking to do a better job. I think LTD does a really good job, personally. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to look at opportunities for improvement. Mm-hmm. And to pick one or two or three of those items, I think you can do that. But I think that one of the things that might be maybe a better way is if you were to look at all of those items and then try to see if you couldn't, on the ones where you're doing better than average, you'd try to maintain that. But where you're not as good as average, you a goal to bring them to the average of the ABBG group.
And just,
you
just
know, and to have a certain specific target, I don't know that would be necessarily fruitful, but to have that willingness to take the areas where we don't come off looking as good as the average, that we are looking to get ourselves up to the average. Mm-hmm. You know, and are you going to do that in 1 year, 2 years? Well, I don't know you can specifically say that, but there needs to be an indication of a willingness to hopefully we'll see the progress of that we're able to do some things that are looking better. So I was thinking about, you know, pick four or five items.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe because there's some items that we're doing really well at, we were the best, but we don't want to be worse, but we want to at least stay there. But that way you look at all of them and because I think if you were to have a person in there, you could take some of the items you're doing real good and let them slip to bring some of the items up. And I don't think you want to encourage that.
And just for clarity, you're referring to Exhibit C, the first objective.
I'm talking the first objective here.
Or it sounded like you're talking about this one, actually, number three.
Thank you.
Exhibit C, the ABBG standards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I think that's good. This committee could be.
Yeah, the objectives and goals.
Yeah.
Right. There. Right.
And I think if we had specific, I think what I recall was that AJ would look at some ABBG categories and decide on some. But I think we have some suggestions for it. We can certainly do that. But actually, if you want to respond, you can. But I was going to say, I think what we really wanted to hear your input on was actually
the compensation.
Four. Yeah, this guy right here. But AJ, did you want to say something?
Oh, on that matter.
Yeah.
So Gary and I spoke about this item, and we were saying that, like, when you pick certain on the performance goals. You pick some. There's a reason some are better, some are worse.
Sure.
You wouldn't want to pick one and say, well, cost per hour is what the general manager is being judged, because then that's what I'm going to say, how do I reduce cost? Well, reducing cost could mean your customer service elements start going down. You start going down. You're like, well, but I'm not being judged on my customer service. I'm being judged on my cost per hour. So what we're saying is, you know, so that, like Gary was saying, how do we pick some that nobody tries to kind of manipulate the numbers? It's like, well, I think these have been determined because they're all important. So they should all be, you know, whether you guys decide within the first 25%, the top rating. And anything that drops below the 50%, that there's a goal as to how are you going to bring that up to a standard.
Yeah.
Without like, compromising the other elements.
Because remember, you're still got to keep these high.
Right. Yeah, you still maintain the other ones. Yeah, that's the thing.
And I thought in this way, because Gary was saying, you know, when we do an annual evaluation, it's always hard to do. One of the first steps we could do under that performance is, under that element, the board, the HR committee receives a presentation. Here are all the rating criteria, how we're doing. Here's where we're doing great, and we will continue all those efforts that keep us at great. Here's the ones we're not doing so great. And here's some strategies that we will do to work towards improving them. You sometimes can't get them there in year one, but here's what we're working on. Well, now the board has a regular way of saying, well, last time you say you were working here, how are you doing on that? You know,
right.
So that you're basically saying, did her efforts work? Is she working, or is there some substantial, so that if we don't meet a goal, it's like, well, we know we weren't going to meet because the board said we're going to do this huge expenditure and the board wanted that. We're not rating her on it because her goal was still working towards that. So that we say all the performance is good. You should be managing the district in a good overall manner, balancing the multiple desires of the district. What I was telling Gary with on a separate matter, I said, you know, if cost per hour is the only thing, and today those of you that were in the finance committee meeting or yesterday, you guys saw the cost of hybrid buses. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, well, I can reduce that by just giving you diesel buses.
Good, yes.
Less environmentally sustainable, less responsible, but I can get you those. So it's like, well, no. We don't want you to attain them. What we want you to do is to balance the overall district interest. Yeah. And so that's just so you know.
I guess that for your benefit, yesterday we on a hybrid, you have the battery part and then you have the engine part, okay? We can overhaul the engines for about $300,000 on 11 units, okay? But the batteries will cost us $1.3 million. And therein lies the you know, and I gotta admit, you see, I'm not sure that this community would go well to go back to just nothing but diesel. And I wouldn't think that would be in the best interest of the community either. But it's just, and so you gotta be careful. And I think that helped me on that. But on the one you're talking about here on number four, I think that information is pretty important. I appreciate AJ's concern because of the budget that we currently have. I appreciate that. I think that is responsive. And but you've got a situation here where Alan up at Salem. That's, and then the next paragraph down is a little bit interesting with, you know, ranges. And that's the thing that I got to admit that that's something that is really difficult. But it just seems that you somehow or another, you've got to be competitive. And how do you not be competitive? I think we've got a good environment here. I really do. I think this is a unique organization, great people, some really, truly huge positive things. But that doesn't solve all the issues. And so we're going to have to figure out how to do that in a way that keeps us competitive. I just don't know how else you can do it.
So I know that, Carl, you would ask for some information about what a year-to-year contract would look like, what the step increases would look like to be more fair to Salem, and mm-hmm. then kind of also moving forward, you know, without a contract at all. Were we able to get that information today? Were we going to ask for comparatives of what each thing would look like budget-wise? Or were you asking for something different and I interpreted that way?
That's not what I thought I was asking for.
Okay.
I'm not sure I knew exactly what I was saying, but I think let me, it might be better instead of trying to figure out what I was trying to say before to tell you what I'm thinking now, which is I think moving forward, a 3-year contract with, actually, Dave, can I ask a quick question? Where is the Salem GM salary right now? Because I forgot to bring my spreadsheet.
I don't have my spreadsheet, but we've got it.
Yeah.
Total compensation, is that what you want?
Salary compensation.
So salary. Salary is $163,550.
Okay. And I can't remember without, everything else is more or less the same in terms of like.
Let's look at the total compensation. Yeah. Okay. That's the real compensation. Yeah.
Right. So AJ's at 157. So just so you have that
For salary.
Yeah.
And then if you go to total compensation, Salem is at 268,213, and AJ is at 217,202.
Okay. And that arises from the differences in the benefits plans. So
retirement, I assume.
Retirement and vacation are the two.
Now that vacation, does that vacation reflect the additional 8 days?
Yes.
Or 10 days, excuse me. It's 10 days. Oh. It does reflect it. Okay.
And we had talked a couple of meetings ago about some budget neutral things we could do with like the retirement also.
Deferred compensation?
Yeah, we talked about doing some deferred compensation. I'm making you work. I'm sorry.
No. I was vacation actually with the inclusion. They are very similar. I just wanted to correct that. So it's really the retirement is the big one. I mean, it's Salem is at 48,000 and AJ's at about 12,000.
Okay, that's the biggest difference.
So it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm wondering, you know, with the first year, what we could do is some of the deferred compensation things we talk, I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm not making a motion. I'm talking out loud of like doing some of the deferred compensation things we talked about, keeping the base the same because we had talked about what's been going on with our budget, but then making a plan for the step increases. I don't know if we can afford that or not. I always have to look at things in front of me to know what it looks like and absorb it. But I would be in favor of getting, and I think we need to do this just as an organization, getting us more competitive. And Salem is our the comparator that's most closely like us regionally. So getting us closer to that. But I was also thinking maybe, you know, maybe there's something we could do for the first year, like some kind of a bonus structure or something, if there are certain goals or certain things that, you know, because when I see certain things like, oh, you did great, you know, and feeling like, okay, I am not able to get up to a certain place. We've discussed that I'm worth a certain level, but here's a bonus. So, you know, I don't know. That's an idea that I'm going to throw out.
Yeah, and that's in the private industry. Usually, if you're doing well, that's how in your the steps in your salary don't change much. But all of a sudden, because the organization did well, you know, yes. Yeah. Of course, our problem right now is that our revenues.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know where
we don't, we don't operate.
We would have
the
to
same
talk
way.
About where to get that, yeah. But you know.
Well.
Something.
My sense is that once you get by January 1,
yeah,
19, that you're going to be in a little different position than you are currently.
Because it's stiff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and we always have to, it's always
that's significant.
It's hard to balance the fact that you don't want a new funding stream to have too high of a percentage in going towards salaries and things like that when you're looking at service too. That's also balancing that is important too. But
for budget purpose, it would have to be after July 1st of 2019.
2019, right.
To not touch this budget. And that's what I was saying. It would,
yeah,
I mean, I would recommend not adding any cost to the current year because our senior management.
Yeah, but we're talking about that 3 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would say in year two or year three, that's the 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that provides for advanced budgeting because we're just starting a new year right now. So that goes back to how are we managing better, reducing cost, being more efficient, so that any additional absorbed cost does not increase the budget by that amount,
right?
Because then you're right. You don't want to use, and I would not recommend adding that to the new revenue stream. I would say, okay, you know, if we do this, then how does this not... You know, how do we run more efficiently so that that's just not adding cost all the time? I mean, employee cost, of course, always adds something, but.
And not counting on money that we don't have right now. We know we're going to get some money, but not counting on, you know, taking into account when it's going to hit and what we've already thought about using it for is important too.
But now in the current budget, isn't there something in there for employees? It's not a, what do you call it? It's a cost of living, but it was just a, because.
Oh, the bridge payment? The bridge payment.
That was part of the
for employees,
18-19.
Yes, for employees that have a pay grade of 14 and below. Those employees will receive a one-time bridge payment equal to 2%. So they won't receive it as part of their monthly check. They'll receive it in one lump sum. So they do get it in advance than they would if we only gave them. But it is 2%. And it's a one-time payment. And it does not add to their overall salary. Because what happens is, if we put it into their cost per hour, then next year they're at a higher range. So this one-time payment basically is a one-time payment that doesn't then add, right.
Yeah, it's based on their salary.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what pay grade are you?
Not over 14.
Over 14?
I'm over 14.
Because I had no idea, because I thought when I got to E5, David's I was at the top.
Yeah, David is over. You're way over, yeah.
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 The managers and above are 15 or above.
Okay, so that answers my question of who are we talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I know.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. That was part of the, that was part of the budget that was passed.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, let me review the things I think we agree upon, and then maybe we can figure out some of the stuff that we can figure out for the latter part. I think it sounds like we are in agreement that we should look at this in the framework of a 3-year contract, and that they're in
I
the
think
first
that's correct.
Good. And in the first year, we're looking at no salary increase. And then for years 2 and 3, that's where we need to figure out how can we increase it, which I would agree with that. I think that's where we should be moving to. The one thing I want to say, and Dave, I might need to ask for your clarification, is that I know Salem is our closest comparator in terms of size, I guess, kind of, but definitely in terms of geographic proximity. But are they a little bit of an outlier in the whole, in our industry, in terms of how they compensate their GM?
And that's back to your spreadsheet. Yeah. Are they an outlier?
And then I would want to be very careful with my words, mm-hmm. is that I wonder, you know, for example, you could have a person who's just really good at negotiating a very specific salary for a very specific location, and we just happen to be next door to that. Right. And so is that the kind of situation we're looking at?
Well, you know, I mean, it's hard to compare because you have TriNet, who, I mean, obviously is, 10 times larger? You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's... And their GM is at roughly 300,000.
Yeah.
You know, then you have the city of Eugene, the city of Springfield, Lane County, and then you go to Salem.
Yeah.
Is C-Trans in there? Sorry, I thought you had C-Trans.
No.
Yeah.
I have a number of other. Responded. You have Ben Franklin and Roosevelt. I don't know that I would say Salem's an outlier.
Okay, no, that's fair. And the reason I brought it up was because I do believe we should be competitive with it, but I also didn't want to necessarily let the community think that I was like, I'm trying to chase after it to necessarily match it or exceed it. The other question I had was, if we were to increase the retirement benefit, then the precedent we'd be setting is that then we'd be basically taking AJ out of the same kind of retirement benefits that everyone else gets and putting her in all her own category. Would that be correct?
That would be correct. And I would have to look. I don't believe we can add her into
the closed
plan. Because
No.
It's closed.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you could do something as far as, I think as we talked about the last time, as far as increasing what you put in her deferred comp, what
right.
you put in her match, what you put in.
Right.
You
know, I was wondering, could her match be different than the match for everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, you have a contract with AJ, so
right.
I mean, you can really...
We checked with our pension council, and we can... using the existing plan, doing a simple plan amendment to allow us to pay more money in for it.
So instead of going to a 5% match, up to 5%, you could go to a 10% match.
You could.
Okay. That's
right.
That's an option.
Right. And one of the reasons I'm bringing that up, and I didn't think we kind of talked about it too, was because I do think for an entire organization, we do need to be conscious of making sure that the people who are paid the most aren't compensated so, like, I don't know what the magic percentage, is there a magic percentage in HR you're not supposed to try to avoid? I've heard of this, but I don't.
No, there is, and I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay, but the concept is, like, what I'm trying to say is the most important thing, which is that you don't want that much separation. I'm actually kind of curious. I doubt you have this. I don't know if there's any way to access it, but I was wondering about with Salem, whether that GM's compensation was way out of whack with the rest of the organization.
Well, may I say something?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I will say, but for LTD, I don't think that would be the case.
Oh, okay.
And we could look it up.
Yeah.
But the next closest to my salary is Mark Johnson.
Yeah.
And he's in the old plan.
Yeah.
So his retirement is the old plan. So his and my retirement, I would not be so much higher than him.
No, I mean,
it'd be pretty much equal because
he probably total compensation might be higher than my compensation.
Yeah. Because he's on the older plan.
Yeah, I mean, in part also, yes, the more years of service, so he's going to get more vacation,
right.
PTO. But even if you pulled that out, he's probably, if you look at salary and pension, he probably
makes. Yeah, so I would not be up here, and then the next person is Mark, and he's so. It would probably help to at least put me slightly over him, and David could probably look that up. But it, I don't, it will not put me out of his norm. So okay. Right now, his total compensation is higher than my total compensation. Yeah.
Interesting.
What would it take to get the general manager's deferred compensation plan to mimic the closed plan, the previous closed plan? Like, where, I don't know what the mechanics would be in that.
That's a tough question.
Yeah,
I don't know. One's an elephant, one's a lion. One's a defined benefit,
right.
One's a defined contribution.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so we're having to pay more money.
It's an apple and orange issue.
Well, yeah.
But you could look at how much we're having to pay him for Mark and then bring her up that amount.
Right. I mean, give me just a second. So for example, I'm looking at what the district did for Ron when Ron was here.
Sure.
So for the defined benefit, it's roughly 13%.
Of LTD's contribution.
Yeah. And then there's also a defined contribution plan on top of that that's 6%. So AJ's currently getting 4.5%. Yeah, 4.5%. So the 4.5 and the 6, so we're looking at ultimately about 14.5% difference because 13.5%.
Right.
But as Dwight was saying, I mean, and I'm not gonna be able to explain this as well as maybe would be needed, but with a defined benefit plan, you know, you're paying on it, and so there's people that have that retired already. And folks like Mark and I that are still working, the district still putting in money based on hours to fund those folks. So at some point, you know, when the last one of us that's in that plan retires, the district is still going to have to fund. But it would be funding a totally standalone plan for AJ, which would be, it would be a little weird. I mean,
I'm not trying to change her plan.
It wouldn't be all that weird. We can keep in the same plan, but increase the percentage from 4.5, if you will, up to 13.5.
Yes, you could do that
same plan.
Except that the defined contribution ends up being in the market, and if you know we have a 2008 right before AJ goes to retire, she's got half of what she thought she was going to have, whereas those of us in the closed plan, I mean, I'm guaranteed a certain amount.
How about if I ask the question this way? In terms of LTD's outlay, could we, it sounds like we could put more outlay towards the retirement. And yes, after it goes into the account, then who knows what happens after that. But it sounds like there is a difference of 9%, you said?
14.5.
Oh, there's a 14.5% difference.
Yeah, because.
Yeah.
Are you talking 13.5 plus 6?
Well, so 13.5 plus 6, so that's
versus 4.5 plus
6? Well, you're right. Actually, I forgot about the 3%. Because there's 4.5 plus 3%. Now, 4.5 goes up every so many years. So I wasn't thinking of the 3% that the district matches on hers. So instead of 14.5, it would be 3%. So 11.5.
Right. Yeah.
And doesn't the rate of return on certain plans have something to do with, isn't part of the driver of that, how many people are in it? So it's kind of
not so how many people are in it, but in the defined benefit plan, you have to get a certain rate of return to be able to provide this benefit down the road. So if you have a 2008 and things drop, now you're going to have to fund a whole bunch more money.
Which
the other problem is as people live longer, which is happening, then you have to have even more money in there to provide that defined benefit all the way out. Whereas on a defined contribution plan, they get the money, and whatever happens to the market or how long they live, it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really hard to start comparing apples to apples with two plans. But we can certainly make an educated guess as to what increase. And I'm not sure it's a 13.5 just because we're not funding enough that when you guys retire, we won't have to put more money in.
Correct.
So we really should be funding more money currently to be able to get you all the way through your
Yes, that, I mean, that 13%, I think actually might be a little higher at this point in time compared to when, you know, and then
right.
it yeah. keeps going up.
Yeah, so the reality is we probably, the differential is a little bit more than that. But we can, I mean, you guys can
yeah.
correct that by increasing that 4.5% to a higher number.
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I was
and
thinking.
And it would stay in, because she's bound to stay in the defined contribution plan.
Right.
We don't have any choice there, but mm-hmm. we can increase her percentage mm-hmm. and put more money into that defined contribution plan.
If could you look into that scenario for us and see how much that would, or I don't, it might be just we just calculated it out. I don't know how easy that calculation would be. It sounds like I would say 13.5 times 157. Isn't that easy?
Well,
no, I mean, I don't know. Is that accurate? I'm just guessing here. I don't want to be. That's what my brain says, but I don't know if that's.
Yeah, that would be. I mean,
is that correct?
If you're looking at the percentage difference.
Yeah. That's how much LTD we put out. Now that doesn't cure our problem as to where that money comes from, but I think what we were saying is that we're presuming we're going to be in a better financial situation to provide more compensation in year two, and that's when it would kick in. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't do anything the first year, but the second.
Right.
Year.
And that's one place we could go. And I think another possibility is that we could also look at bumping up the retirement and then looking at salary bump simultaneously or one or the other. And there, I think there are lots of ways to mm-hmm. approach this, but I do find the retirement one to be a good way of bringing some level, a kind of parity.
What I want to say is, and I think Kristen, when she was here, she kind of talked a little bit about it, is when you're looking at total compensation, you know, she asked me, did I care one way or the other? I said, no, I really didn't care about that, you know, piece, whatever works best. So on this, and I still don't care about that, but what I think, which was alluded to Dwight's memo, it's some of it is, you know, what is the cost of that compensation? And we, you know, as I think we all agree that year one, that's not wise for the district to do, and I don't recommend, nor do I expect that. So we're talking about year two and three.
Mm-hmm.
So as the three of you look at whatever that dollar amount you feel comfortable is, and then you say, well, then how should it be distributed? Pretend that on year three I leave, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I leave. What would you structure the salary to attract a high-quality GM? Because if not, before you attract a new GM, what would you be doing is going, well, when AJ was here, we did it this way, but that won't attract anybody. Well, then we defeated the purpose of raising the salary, because we're raising the salary, you know, to look at how does LTD retain a competent GM and attract a future one that, you know, that one day, you know, if the guy would say, you know, if I'm not performing, if your GM's not performing, you don't give an increase. Right. But your standard is we pay good because we have high standards. And we would only hire a new GM here that met our standards. And we know we have a competitive rate to serve that. So what would that look like? You know, if you were right now recruiting, so what you're looking at is year two and three. It's like, okay, at the end of that, does the salary structure reflect what we would put back out on the street? So if that helps you a little bit, because I don't care which way you do it. That's really, I want you guys to have that. But I want you guys to.
Will there be deferred compensation or like, not? You don't really care?
I have no preference on that. I have no preference. Okay. That's why I asked you guys to say is structure it. Because at the end of that, if you put out a packet and you're like, oh, somebody's going to really want to work here, what would you think that looked like? And because, you know, we will be losing, you know, and I'm trying to hold on to Mark as long as I can, and I think he's agreeing to, and David and I are working on ways that we feel that we can retain him as we develop internal staff or prepare the organization for the exit of, but, you know, because your GM only is or is wise to manage on a three-year period. You'd want to say some of it is total compensation, what do we feel is comfortable, and then how does that structure get you a new GM in the future? You know, and hopefully 3 years from now we're negotiating a new contract, but you don't want to feel like, well, we have to keep her because no one else will take this job. You know, you don't want that either, you know? Right. You know, so I want you guys to kind of think about that is because, yeah. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
There was a comment made a couple meetings ago that I thought was well taken about the fact that if we don't attract somebody who is going to meet our standards, we're going to attract someone who is going to build competencies on our hour and then go somewhere else that pays pays more. Like someone, do we want someone who's going to build a career with us or someone who's going to like have a career with us?
Yeah.
Can I raise something?
Yeah.
There's two issues on year one. One is the optics for AJ with the senior people who didn't get raises.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not so sure that equalizing her retirement with theirs is seen as an increase in her salary. Are you with me? Second one is the budget. You got to have the ability to pay whatever you're going to do. And I don't know where you guys are on the budget. So
If we had more money, I would actually think that it would be a great idea to then the year one increase the retirement and then year two increase the salary. I kind of feel like we're not in that position to be able to do that.
No, we're not.
Okay. And so, but I appreciate it.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, I mean, let me throw out something. How about, one comment, and this is what April said had got me thinking. I actually am not a big fan of bonus-related metrics, especially in publics, just because I don't feel like that's the best kind of motivation and way to get to achieve goals, at least in a not-for-profit. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying I'm universally right on that one.
Public sector is different than private sector, in my opinion.
And I think it works well as a driver
it's different,
for private.
It's a totally different world.
So I just want to vocalize that. I could be convinced, I think, to go that direction, but that's not would not be my preference. That being said, I was thinking, one way we get the salary up is that if we, I'm just going to throw out a number, like a 2% increase starting in year two, followed by another 2% increase in year three, based on satisfactory performance. You can't slack off.
Yeah.
I believe that's roughly $3,000 more per year. Did I calculate that right?
Well, 2%, yeah.
Yeah, 3,000, okay, good.
Yeah.
So that would bring us pretty close to 163, if I did my math correctly, by year three. By that time, Salem might have jumped even higher.
Well, yeah. And the thing is,
might not be enough.
They're
on a year-to-year basis.
But we may be chasing,
Which
I believe that Alan is getting, from what they said, what the employees are getting, and their union employees are getting three in a quarter, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Three or three and a quarter.
Yeah.
So.
And I was going to balance that. That's what when I was throwing that number out there, and then also at the same time, also pushing up the retirement contribution too. Just as a place to get us started.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are your thoughts on that? Are we hitting our objectives and goals as to maintain competitive compensation package, not only for our existing GM, but also for potential recruitment of a new GM in 3 years. And I admit, I should stop talking at some point, but the other thing I'm not familiar enough about the situation, I know April's going to stop talking.
I have to hang out with him like 10 hours a day in addition.
She does. Is I think this metric that about Grand Rapids, Michigan is helpful. So if we're looking if nationwide we're looking at about $200,000, then we're far out. Like even with my modest 2% increase per year, we're not there. And so,
and I'm not considering that. So I just wanted
I appreciate that.
That was a conversation that Dwight and I had, but since he put it there, so just so you know, I'm not considering that.
Because it's helpful for me because I mean it's one data point. I don't know the whole field, but if that is an example of of where that industry is kind of at in terms of what they pay general managers, then that's something to think about. That's like, hey, do we need to be more aggressive?
No, the thing is, you see, when we hired AJ, was this a competitive salary? The 155?
No, it was not. I took a pay cut because my retirement there is so high. So I took a pay cut. And trust me, no complaints about that. I totally did quality of life here. So, yeah. So although the salary there was, I think, like $5,000 lower, the retirement would allow me to retire at 55 with about 70% of that salary.
Wow.
So, yeah, so the retirement here was so significantly lower, but it was you either wait to enjoy your quality of life then and live there or come here and have quality of life now. So, you know, again, this is for me personally, other people may not feel that way, but that's why I took it. So, no, the total compensation was a pay cut.
You answered my question, because I was just playing with my little calculator.
And I do think the last two recruitments, including my recruitment, the district has not received highly experienced general managers that stayed in the process. I think there was...
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in part we've lost some because we have our community has such an open process.
Yeah, and
we definitely lose people.
Scared.
Yeah, no, people don't want to, you know.
Yeah,
be out there. Yeah.
But if they were being paid a high salary,
they
would want their employer to know that LTD was considering them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, if LTD was offering them a lot of money, and they were trying to renegotiate with their community higher salary, they would want LTD to put in the news that they're considering them because of their community. So people basically backed out saying it wasn't worth for them to be out at that LTD with their employer. So
you see, if I've just did a little play with figures, a 3% increase over a 3-year period of the 155 takes you to 170.
3% per year,
every year. In other words, if you did a 3% COLA. Mm-hmm. So if you did a 2% COLA, mm-hmm. it's going to be a little bit less. But it just gives you an order of magnitude of if you just use this figure that somebody else has thrown out of the air out here of what the normal increased cost of living is, and if you just maintain that, it gets to be that those kinds of figures. Yeah, if you do a...
Okay.
No, it's...
And maybe... Oh, one more question before I respond to Gary. I was wondering, I don't think it's like it's similar to how most people do job searches, but when we're trying to attract other GM candidates, are they focused mostly on the salary and not looking at the entire benefits package? No. I have to imagine looking at the whole thing.
No, they have to look at the total.
Yeah. I would look at the total if I was doing that.
Yeah. At this level, we know how to do math.
Well, I don't know if there is.
You want a GM that knows how to do total math. Yeah.
Right.
I wasn't sure. The reason I asked that. Yeah.
They don't know how to figure it out. Right. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
You got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Wrong person.
Or whether there was. I mean, I think most people would look at the total, but is there a certain cachet or just a more interest in organizations that, like, the salary is the king? Like, if it needs to have the. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I can't speak for anybody.
Sure.
But I mean, I think it all plays in. I mean, some people, I mean, you want a decent salary.
Right.
I mean, you know, you have bills to pay. I mean, you know, a mortgage and things like that.
Yeah.
But retirement, I think, plays into it. And when you look at some of these others, I mean, you look at, the city of Eugene, city of Springfield, we looked at Salem. You know, you look at those, and the retirement is definitely a big thing. And when we close this plan, I mean, one of the things, you know, we... the previous general manager, Ron, was hired about 6 months before the plan closed, and that was one of the things that the agency was looking at, was to try to get somebody in before that closed at that point in time, so that at least at that point in time that they were in, and that was a...
Because it's very attractive. Kind
of, yeah, and I mean, you know, obviously we closed the plan due to the cost.
Right.
But...
And the reason I'm asking is because I wanted to see, you know, should we be more aggressive on the salary front, or is it, should it be a more balanced approach? And I also know we're trying to balance also the optics of the situation so that, you know, if we're, because that could make the news. I mean, like, you know, Lane Community College, it made the news with how we compensate.
I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just saying.
Oh, I thought you were just,
I was thinking about the, because they're all over the, somebody printed them out and. They're all over.
Which I'm saying is not, I don't think the compensation was wrong or bad, but there is going to be a public.
Well, the reason of that was such reaction. A bad optic with the public is because that organization that I will disclose I work for is on the hook for that.
Sure.
And it's not, and it's in a budget hole while it's on the hook for something so significant.
To clarify, it's not actually on the hook for that because it's outside of
the PERS. Yeah, but I mean, there's a perception that in a budget crisis, one person is being valued over the whole organization. But I don't think we're saying that we want to do that. We've already ruled out that we're not, and so we'll lead with. Anybody can, you know, from the public say, well, why is this person getting X, Y, and Z? And I think that we're approaching it in a way that is, you know, what's best for the organization in the long term sustainably, and also, and we're wrapping the competitiveness into that as opposed to saying, you know, this one person we're valuing like Jesus, you know, and it doesn't matter how much money we have. You know, we're not doing that, you know.
I have an idea. Dave, I don't know if you have it on you. Could you tell me what the step increases are for the contract we had bargained for classified from years 2 and 3? Because I knew it was graduated. I can't remember. It was like 3.5 and then 4.5 or something like that.
On our ATU?
Yes,
ATU.
We did 2, 1.5, 2, 1.5.
Yeah, it's 4 years. Yeah.
Well, 4 years. And then coinciding with where we would be net 1 year from now, what would be the increase for the ATU?
Well, there were 6 months steps. So that compounds it, but about 3.5.
3.5.
Let me
I'll go ahead and spit out what I'm thinking. What if we, I imagine it might be readily acceptable if the general manager's contract, based on, you know, satisfactory performance on year 2, year 3, matched what the increases were there for the ATU contract, whatever they are. If you're following what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I follow. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. And then see what those numbers are, and then I strongly suspect that we still would need to look at the retirement package and see what percentage addition we would want to do there.
And aren't we looking at we're looking at different classes of employees, right? In that.
Was there a difference between classes? I thought there wasn't, but.
No, all the contract employees got the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The only thing I would say is that we've made a fairly conscious effort to separate our administrative employees from the COLA that is built into the ATU contract. Mm-hmm. So that might be a bad thing to throw AJ into.
Well, that's just my concern. Not
sure,
that.
Sure, sure. It's just an idea I had.
Yeah.
I was trying to think what would sound reasonable to the, because I think there's two, for me, this is just my view, two audiences. There's the public, and then there's the employees.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like.
Let me tell you. So the employees that are under me that are not ATU contracted, those decisions really go on myself, the HR director, the management team. So I would say I wouldn't consider that, only because we did get feedback from some employees that because they're getting a bridge payment, that management should take a pay cut. So I don't think that's the, that you don't want to look to, and I basically said, that's my decision, and I would never give my management team a pay cut. Yeah. So if you're saying, well, we want to, our audience is the employees, I would say I would rule out that, because you're going to get such a skewed view as to where the contract that does come before you is ATU. And it's a lengthy process, as you guys know, in negotiating that. And that does come before the board of directors under you. But on the non-contract, I would say, yeah, I would just move that out, just because you're going to get such feedback, no matter that the best thing is that you make a decision for the community, you know, and for what you envision the future of this organization to be, not from, because you're going to get those kind. And I stand firm, and I basically say, I stand firm for our management team that works hard, and we want to keep them, because I don't want a revolving door of management team here.
Right.
Yeah, I think that there, that when I always kind of think about process. I'm like a really big into, you know, the way that things are kind of approached. And I feel like we need to realize that, you know, as a board, you know, contracting with the GM, that is a special relationship. And we're not saying that the GM is different is not making some sweeping statement that she's better than someone else and somebody's better than you. What we're saying is that, you know, we do have the right in practice to keep this, you know, for lack of a better word, like a special relationship. And I don't know if you want to conflate, you know, how we do things with all the other employees with her, or with anyone in that position,
Okay. No, that's cool. I'm cool abandoning that strategy.
I don't know if this helps any. I mean, I was going to say, it seems like in our community that we've had a tendency at times, or at least in the past, of not paying some of the GMs or, you know, CEOs in public organizations. And I would look back at, in 2011, when this agency hired Ron, and we actually hired him for a little more than what Mark was, but when Mark Pangborn, but we had come off of a wage freeze, and so we made that. But also, if you recall, at that point in time, 4J hired Shelley. I mean, and that was a huge increase. I mean, 4J was slaughtered in the papers because, you know, they took, I think they went from like 120 or something like that to like 160 when they first hired him. I mean, but I think part of it was, it was trying to make up for where maybe they should be.
Sure.
And I was just looking, and the current 4J superintendent, and this was in 2017, went up to 206,000. I tried to get there, so they never responded. So,
yeah.
So I mean, you know, I mean,
that's total compensation.
No, that's his
salary.
He got a 5% increase in June of 2017 to 206,624.
Mm-hmm.
And my assumption is that he's still in their PERS there, and it's not as good as the old PERS, but and they have still a pretty rich benefit package. So
I just wouldn't be forced. Like we're worried about swinging the pendulum one way of valuing one person above everything else at the risk of sustainability, but then the other swing is ignoring the fact that a leader at the top is different, and it is a different relationship and competitiveness, and we also ignore that at our peril as well if we try to be too, you know. I think that's a mistake that boards
also
make.
They're jobs that are served at the leisure of the board. I mean, there's at any point, and I know that often, not just GMs, but people who are in that position are often worried that, you know, it's not as secure as you might think.
But I think also in trying to use some of these people, like the city manager Eugene in Springfield, as well as the school district. What's the budget of the city of Eugene? You know, what's the budget of Lane County? What's the budget of the school district? And I think those are all factors, mm-hmm. because, you know, that there's other things that are needed. You know, John, the different things. That's why I like to stay with the comparisons on the people that are doing the same type of a job, because mm-hmm. I don't see the city manager doing the same kind of job as we're doing. But, I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, if you're talking 2%, 2.5%, 3%, those types of things. The fact that it doesn't matter to you whether or not it's in deferred, because for some people they want it to be deferred, they want to do anything they can to defer it. But I don't know that there's any tax advantages anymore. You're doing after tax income that you're putting into it, so all of a sudden, you know, it's not pre-tax. So the benefit there is not there that like it used to be. So that's doesn't make that much difference. Yeah.
What I'm feeling, how this conversation is going, is that we should be more aggressive with the salary and looking at 200,000 possibly as a point where we want to get closer to, so that we just forget Salem in general. Is that right? Is that what people are feeling? Because I think one reason I'm saying that is because I think if we pick, in my mind, if we pick a point that we think is a reasonable point between where the salary is now and 200,000, and knowing that we can't raise it this first year, then it becomes a little bit just a math game of how much do you raise it year two, year three, to get to that number that you just picked. Mm-hmm. If people are following.
Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking that the retirement item might be a bigger deal than the salary item.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could be. I appreciate about the memo and what I'm hearing in this room.
Yeah.
We've got the tools. Now we just have to figure out, or maybe the pieces of the puzzle. We just need to figure out how do we want to assemble them to get to what we think we
because
want.
I think that there's definite justification on the retirement.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. But
I think there's room on both.
Yeah.
And I think by doing both, maybe you don't get up to, but you're doing better.
Doing a more of a comprehensive look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the overall package is, because that's what's going to be evaluated.
I mean, I think that when you go to recruit, I mean, especially when you're recruiting a general manager, you're getting somebody who, they're seasoned. They're not just looking at their salary. They are looking at the retirement package because they're thinking about that.
Sure,
they're usually not all younger employees aren't thinking
right.
of that. But usually, you know, when you go into negotiations, if your negotiating team is really young, they're looking at wages. If your negotiating team is older, they're thinking, oh my God, we got to get retirement up. I mean, so as we progress in life, we start thinking of different things. And again, if we're looking for a seasoned general manager, we're looking at somebody who's kind of, they're going to be looking at all of it, but they want that retirement as well. I mean, they don't want to work until they're 80.
Yeah.
Most of us don't.
But that's what AJ says, you look overall package.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the retirement's a big deal.
And just as a kind of a checking in with ourselves here, we still have time. So maybe what we can do is we can put out a few tasks for Dave, then that can be brought back to us, and then we can maybe have a few options to consider. Let me throw out one or two, and then I would encourage other people in the committee to throw out a few, and then that way we can look at it. This first one's gonna be a little complicated, Dave, so bear with me. So I would like you to take the Salem salary, extrapolate it at the increase of where it would be 3 years from now. And then
what basis?
That's a tough one.
We don't know.
We don't know. The extrapolate, you'd have to go back 3 years.
Oh, is that hard?
It'd be a guess.
Based on their union contract. I mean, I can find out what they've typically done.
Yeah.
If their administrative employees get, you know, the same as.
How about if I make it easier? Like, if there were just a 2% increase per year from the, so 163,550, and then if you could add 2%, is that what the salary for
Salem? Salem is 163,550.
Yeah.
Oh,
so take
okay.
the, yeah, yeah. Take that.
We could try and do a graph.
Yeah. Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah.
Like take a modest. That's a modest bump every year and see where that ends up. I'm going to guess that's going to put us around 175, maybe.
Yeah.
Is that right? Roughly. Because that's where I thought might be a sweet spot. And then the other half of that package would be funding the retirement at the same outlay that we would for the now closed plan. That makes sense. Yeah. Actually, I only had one package. That's one that's on, not on my mind. I would love to see what the numbers look on that one. Other options? Did I just
come, I liked,
did I come it up with the,
I don't know. I like the whole 3%, 3%, and then some of the deferred compensation. I'm still on that.
Oh, wait, can you repeat that again?
The 3%, 3%, and then the deferred compensation. I'm still on that. Like, oh, and doing it and that way.
So I feel good. I'm like, oh, I'm feeling good now. You're 3%.
Yeah.
Because we're all agreed. You're 1-0.
Yeah.
And then
do something with the retirement. Yeah.
It's full the same thing. I just mentioned.
Okay. See, that retirement calculation is really, really tough.
Can you make that option too, Dave? Just what April just said. So it'd be, okay. Okay.
I was thinking on your retirement calculation that he was talking about is what are you paying into there today, or what you would have paid in had that program been a continuous program? Because I don't think those are the same things. Because I think the calculation that we're paying a premium today for that because of the fact that there's the revenues aren't going in there that would have gone in there had it stayed the whole. So you don't have all the young people that have come out. They aren't making any contributions to that plan. So LTD, so that calculation, I see that as being really a tough calculation. I'm not sure. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, Gary, and that's true for health insurance. I'm not convinced it's true for PERS 1. Granted, you pay in a longer period for that young employee. But we should have been paying in for the older employees. We should have been paying in an amount higher than that early on. Mm-hmm. But they didn't.
They didn't.
And that's why we have the deficit.
Well, and then I go to the pension meetings, and I look at the pension meetings, and I go, because I'm not convinced that the performance is at the level that it will be. We're going to do a lot better.
Christina and Stephen are there now.
Yeah.
Seriously. I feel pretty comfortable that's going to do better, because there's... Well, there's some enthusiasm on, and I'm seeing it even on the ATU side. And all of a sudden, they recognize that what you're trying to do there is in their best interest also. Yeah. It benefits everybody. Mm-hmm. And of course, so I'm excited about that. So that calculation, but I don't know how, whether it be just, you know, almost do arbitrary on the pension, like you were saying, if it's at whatever percent now, and if you doubled that, or if you went up 50% or whatnot, it would be pretty significant.
I mean, I know what we're contributing now based on evaluation and then I can ask Will Clarkshem, our actuary, just kind of get a projection over the next, 5 to 10 years, what he thinks that, what we've seen over the years, if he thinks that will.
What would be reasonable to assume?
Yeah.
He's pretty bright. Yeah.
That's putting it mildly.
But I did, you know, what Dwight was talking about in terms of where we're at now, in terms of the, and then the percentage that you came up with, as I remember, there was a 3% difference, and you came up with about 11.5.
Yeah. So I do have a question.
Yeah.
So, what you were asking, funding the retirement at the closed plan level, so I can do that. The one thing is, if AJ stays in like the current admin plan, it does increase over time. And I'm assuming what you're wanting is what the additional cost would be.
Additional, right.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that.
Yes. What I was, when we were talking about that 11.5%, is that 11.5% include the 4.5%, or is that in addition to the 4.5%?
Included. I mean, that was
in addition.
That
in addition, to, yeah. I guess, yeah.
So the total is 16%.
Right. I mean, because again, Ron was getting 19%. AJ right now is getting 7.5%. So the idea was to bring that up to the 19%.
Oh yes,
Carl. I hear what you're asking.
Yeah.
And I'll sit down with David and we'll give you a bunch of numbers.
That's good.
That's what I want.
Not yeah. just one. Yeah. We're going to give you a range of numbers so yeah. you guys have okay, this, but I hear what you want.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
I'm tracking. Okay. So we'll get those numbers for you next time.
I wasn't sure if I was less clear on Gary, if you had something, a package that you were trying to propose, I wasn't 100% clear that you wanted to get a proposal on.
No, I. It boils down to what are you going to do the second and third year? Is it a two? Is it a three? Is it a 2.5? A 3.5? Whatever it is, it's an arbitrary number. Yeah. You're just going to come and agree to it, and then you're going to do the return. You know, and to say that it's got to be a certain way, I'm easy. I want it to be something that works to achieve the goal.
I might be able to save you some work. Instead of trying to extrapolate, I would say, could you just make the target one, the ending salary at the end for year three to be 175? It is somewhat, I admit, somewhat arbitrary, but I think
we may be able to figure that out.
Okay.
We can call up there and ask them what those increases were and try and
predict. Oh, I see what you're, you're trying to predict.
Well, I'm trying to get to, it's like, can I get to the parity through step increases by year three? But I also thought, I kind of, guessing maybe
whether you will or not probably doesn't make any difference. It's the attempt to do something that way.
Yeah.
Okay, great. If that's not too much, if I'm not asking too much, then great. Go ahead and do that then.
I mean,
Okay. Yeah. Excellent.
Okay.
So that sounds good. So it sounds like next HR meeting we'll have.
We're making progress.
I feel like we're making progress.
I feel like we've moved the conversation forward.
But these evaluation things, right?
Yeah.
Are still, for me, that's important.
Well, I think I'm glad you brought it up because I think it's a good continuous conversation we can and should.
Because I'm starting to get a better sense of how that can be more fair.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key issue. It needs to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And in the best interest of the overall organization for an evaluation of whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Great. I assume there is no other business. And seeing none, I will go ahead and call this meeting to close.
Okay.
Have you
seen these cards? No. Don't worry, I'm leaving.